Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, Alan Cumming. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Homo Sapiens.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're all having a lovely day. I just wanted to tell you that I've pushed aside to one side of my coffee table a delicious plate of chili that I made last night with vegan sausages, and it was so hot, I'm actually breathing fire right now.
When we're recording, it's morning where you are.
Yes.
I'm noticing that you would eat a spicy sort of meal in the morning.
Well, I
had talk me through that.
I have, what I do in the morning, I wake up, obviously. I come
on a good day.
I eat a lemon. I have
Christ.
The juice and mushy stuff of a lemon, because that settles your stomach, gives you the alkaline balance or something. Then I have
a vodka tonic.
No, a vegan protein shake with like banana and funny oil and apple cider vinegar and hemp seeds and blah blah, and you know, thing. Do all that, have my shake. So I have a lemon, a shake, cup of tea. And I feel after that, I can eat what I like. It's like when I am, it's like, it's 11:30 in the morning. But I've been up for like, 4 hours. So I feel it's time to, and I made this delicious chili last night. Because I cook industrial amounts of food and then it's just me. So I'm just eating chili at all hours and it's delicious. But that's getting us off topic, because our guest today is very appetizing. See what I did there? A very appetizing young gentleman. I'm very excited to meet him. His name is Adam Eli.
Yes, indeed.
And very interesting. Obviously, that's there may be a Jewish connotation to that name, because he is indeed Jewish. And what I think is really interesting about him is that the way he uses his Judaism and his queerism, at the intersectionality, there's a good use of that word, of his Jewishness,
yes,
and his queerness. Christopher, what do you think about that?
I'm very pro it, Alan, as you know. I love a bit of an intersection, but I think two things bring to mind. This season is about trailblazers, and Adam is a true trailblazer, because he is representing for queer Jewish people, and talks so fascinatingly about how he wants to use Judaism as the kind of blueprint for how the queer community can actually link and find each other and realize, like, we're this one big massive family. He would describe himself as a writer and community organizer, so he's done a lot of incredible stuff with a thing called Voices For that I'm very excited to talk to him about as well. I came across him first because he was attacked on the subway, and hopefully we'll talk about the sort of amazing reaction that he had to that.
Indeed.
And that's how I discovered him. I'm very excited to be talking to a bona fide trailblazer, Alan. Well, should we go and have a listen to Adam Eli?
Let's. Adam, it's so lovely to meet you.
It's so lovely to meet you. I'm really excited to be here. And like I said, I'm a really big fan.
Oh, bless you.
Alan, hello. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about was your book, because it's such a beautiful idea, really. But you talk about this thing that I'd love you to talk, sort of explain for everyone who doesn't know, like, about the way you think Judaism is such a brilliant blueprint for what we should all be doing as queer people, how we're linked in a way that we don't understand.
The word intersectionality was used when we talked about this earlier, and you're at the apex of intersectionality between Judaism and queerism, or queerness.
Wow, that is some extremely heavy praise from two people I really respect. The book is definitely about intersectionality. And also, Chris, what you said was really beautiful and meant a lot to me, because that's exactly what I wanted people to take from the book. Basically, the idea that the thesis of the book is queer people anywhere are responsible for queer people everywhere. It's also the thesis of basically everything that I do. And that idea came from a passage in the Talmud. And the Talmud is a piece of ancient Jewish scripture that says, Kol Yisrael Avrim Zebazeh, which means that all Jewish people are responsible for each other. And so growing up, I grew up in a very Jewish household, and I was taught that a part of the DNA of being Jewish, part of what it means to be Jewish, is to show up for other Jewish people. And obviously, we don't do that perfectly. It doesn't happen all the time. Diversity within the Jewish community is a big issue. However, it's still a fundamental aspect of being Jewish. And there are fundamental aspects of being queer. Like, we were just talking about the iconic Patti LuPone, you know, this like, the queer community has holidays, we have pride, we have our own rituals, we have our own things that, like, you know, go to any gay bar anywhere and you can hear a Lady Gaga or Madonna song. We have tenets of queerness, and I want one of those tenets to be that just there's a baseline assumption that you're showing up and supporting other queer people simply because you're queer.
Totally.
And what was that moment when you realized that there was that disparity between the sort of the way the Jewish people support each other and the way queer people don't?
So I write about a little bit in the book. I wrote about watching the Tree of Life. There was a shooting at a synagogue in America, in Pittsburgh. It was called the Tree of Life. And a shooter came into a synagogue and killed 12 people on Saturday morning services. And it was Shabbos morning. And so a lot of Jewish people, or some Jewish people, aren't able, don't use electricity on Shabbos. And before Shabbos was even out, before the Sabbath was even over, all the funerals were paid for. There were people on their way outside. People were set up handing out hot food. Every single Jewish celebrity human being had tweeted their outrage. And all of these things were put into motion. I went to a rally that was put together in, you know, 3 hours. It was just this universal response that said very clearly, you know, when you mess with one Jew, you mess with us all. And then a few weeks later, first of all, there is the constant ongoing genocide of Black trans women taking place in America. And that's happening almost every day here. And it was happening then too. And there was rarely a direct call to action, let alone a unified force. And then a few weeks later, there was news that there was a resurgence of the purges that were taking place in Chechnya, the queer purges. And there were a lot of people that were upset, but there was no direct call to action. It wasn't obvious that there would be a big vigil. It wasn't obvious that every single queer person had to talk about it. And so I just sort of stared at the two disparities in the face.
I mean, it seems to me that the biggest reason for that is structure, in that we don't have a structure in the queer community, like in Judaism, which is a very structured society. We don't have that. We don't have the way that we look. We don't have elders. It's an interesting, we're a fractured community, I think, in many ways. But I think the situation of, we need to have more structure in our Jewish life, in our queer life, don't you think?
That's a really, really interesting question. And I think part of it is structure, but one of the, even more than structure, are institutions. Like, the institutions, Jewish institutions, sort of stepped up and were able to do that. Whereas we have fewer queer institutions, and the ones that we have are deeply, deeply, deeply overwhelmed. You know, like, I love the LGBT Center in New York. And they have their hands full. They do such incredible things here. I don't know how much they can take on what's going on in Chechnya. Yeah. And so it's not to criticize the queer community, because the Jewish people have been out and loud and saying, we are the Jewish people, for a very long time. And queer people have simply been out and proud and saying, you know, we are the queer people, at least on a grand scale, for a much shorter time. And so it's not a criticism, but rather an attitude that my dream in life is to have some of the queer community adopt.
It's funny, isn't it, as well, that we don't have, like, when you think about, well, I'm thinking specifically about Christianity here, the amount of money behind it is just extraordinary, that you don't have, you know, like you're saying, all the resources of queer, you know, places, they're stretched. It's the complete opposite.
Absolutely. And there's also, there's money, and there's also access. Like, there are Jewish people in like almost every corner of the world, and a lot of them are connected to each other. And there are queer people in absolutely every corner of the world. And for the first time ever, like literally in the past 10 years, for the first time ever, we're able to connect on a real way. Like I can download videos about, like some kid can get in Poland, we do this, some kid will go to a protest in Poland where they're being beaten in the streets, take videos, DM them to me, I'll download them and post them in real time. Wow. And we weren't able to do that until recently.
Mm. Also, I think like I always think, you know, Jewish people aren't ashamed of being Jewish people, mm-hmm. whereas many queer people, even now, are shame runs very deep in our culture. Definitely. And that surely must have a lot to do with this lack that we have in the way that we can protest and help each other. Don't you think?
Absolutely. And remember, like, laws promoting religious freedom in some parts of the world are more standard than there are in the protections. I mean, protections against queer people. I mean, we just saw a terrible, terrible, terrible thing that happened in the UK with the right to self-determination. Whereas in the UK, you have freedom of religion, yet somehow the rights of trans people are still being negotiated.
It boggles my mind, the whole, we've been talking about this a lot with some of our other guests on this show about how Britain is so behind on the whole trans thing.
It is.
And and it's much more progressive in other ways. But the whole, you know, this lack of ability to, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, it's sort of got several years to catch up on the US in terms of, it's not a question in the US that, you know, well, at least Democratic politicians all support trans rights and recognize all the issues that trans people are facing and trying to do something about, you know, talking about these statistics about, you know, the average life expectancy of a black trans woman or a trans woman of color is 35. And yes. Just that, these things are being talked about. That's where we're at with it in America. In Britain, it's still being like people are debating. Intelligent, feminist, clever, left-wing people are debating whether or not they believe in the kind of whole about whether they will call a trans woman a woman. I mean, it's just, what the hell's going on, Christopher?
I agree. And I think what's interesting is, as a queer person, I feel like we are always the people who have to like be the conduit for these arguments, you know? People don't. And actually, it's funny because you were saying, Adam, before we started recording, that you listened to our interview with Lady Phil.
An icon and a legend amongst us.
Yeah, and so she founded UK Black Pride. For anyone who hasn't listened, please go and listen because we make it about 4p off the advert. But the she said a fascinating thing to me when I was talking to her, and I was like, you know, Lady Phil, this has been amazing, and can you tell us, like, where can people go to try and work out how to help and, you know, how to be better? And she said, you need to go and find that yourself. It's not up to me to tell you. Me as the black woman to tell you how you can help me. You should be interested in helping me. And in the same way that I have to bend to everything that you have, not me specifically.
But it's like what you're saying, black people are exhausted having to do all that. I mean, I think they're just endlessly, and especially recently in the last year, you know, they're just constantly having to, in addition to all this shit happening to them, and it's the same with trans people. And well, and like you're saying, in queer people, we've got to kind of do all the work as well as have all the shit happen to us too.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's interesting because it's like trans women, trans people, Black people and people of color do not owe it to us to explain what their experiences are. They do not owe it to us to say, this is what you should be doing. But it's also important that we don't just like decide ourselves as people that haven't experienced the violence personally. And so I think that there, so I totally agree with Lady Phil. And luckily for the world, there are trans people out there that have taken it upon themselves, like the incredible Monroe Bergdorf, to, you know, provide clear calls to action, you know, when they can and when it's okay for them to be doing so.
But you know what I find so often is when you say that to people, people just go, oh God, you're being so touchy, you know?
Yeah, and people like, what do you say to that? You say you have a zero tolerance policy. Like, I always say, like, I have a zero tolerance policy for transphobia in any capacity ever. If trans people are not comfortable and actively comfortable and safe in a space, then I have no reason to be there. I got invited to like I was traveling and I was invited to like a gay, on Grindr, I was invited to like a gay like bubble club or something. And I said, are trans
what's
people
a bubble? What's a bubble club?
Like a bubble party, like a bubble. I don't know.
Like a foam party. Like
yeah, a foam party. Yeah.
Oh yeah, a foam party, yeah.
And I said, are trans and gender non-conforming people welcome? And they said no. And I said, there's no reason for me to be in a space where trans people aren't actively welcome. And so if you're being touchy means that someone else is comfortable, then get over
totally. What do you ask that now? Do you, when you're invited places, do you actually actively say, are trans and non-binary people welcome?
Absolutely.
Good for you.
Because it's something that has to be done actively. There are two things that I believe in above, or not above everything else, but two things. I believe in the new queer conscience and the idea that queer people are responsible for each other. And the way that that is manifested today, I see for a cis gay white man, as I identify, has been a few ways. The first is full throttle support behind the Black Lives Matter movement and their leaders. The second is doing everything that a gay man possibly can to support the trans and gender nonconforming community. And then the third is the same exact thing, but with the intersex community.
And where are the places that you find when you ask that question that say, no, they're not welcome? Well, I'm just really intrigued about that.
Yeah, for sure. Usually they're gay, male operated and owned. And usually they're like, usually there's an element of like sex involved.
Ah, right.
Adam, will you tell the story, which I just love, about you realizing you were queer in a bathroom crying when you were a kid, and then your friend was in a bathroom somewhere else and you realized that you weren't alone? It's a really beautiful story.
This is going to be a hilarious story, I'm sure.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I read it in your book and it's beautiful, but I've sort of told this, I've slightly told the story for you, but God,
I'm being facetious. Yeah.
No, for sure. Like, I think that, like, so the idea is that being queer means that you're never alone, because being queer means that you're part of something greater than yourself. And Alan, honestly, I think that you're a part of that. Like, you can look for queer history anywhere you go. And so those images of you in cabaret, you know, that's like, to me, that's queer culture being larger than life. Like every play, every piece of history, every time period, every era, every classroom that you're in has a part of queerness that you can own. And so when you are part of something greater than yourself, that means that you're never really alone. And so I was having a bad day in high school and I went into a bathroom alone and cried in the mirror because drama. And I, you know, said out loud to myself that I was queer. And my first gay friend, Will, if you're listening, God bless your soul. Will told me a story where he ended up in a bathroom as well crying, and it ended up being around the same time period. And so there were two of us, and we weren't alone. We were together in what we were feeling. We were just separated. And I say in the book that we were separated intentionally because there are systems of oppression set up to uphold the binary and everything that comes with it. And had we not been separated, can you imagine what queer youth could do if there was no societal shame?
Absolutely. It's very exciting, I think, this whole this new queer world we live in, because of young kids coming into it having no other experience of what, you know, of queerness, only seeing it in a positive light and a kind of being discussed and like having, and it being fluid in all sorts of ways. I think it's really, to have that as your base and no other sort of negative, shameful connotation to it, it'll be an incredible thing to see how that flourishes and what happens.
I'm not sure that it's possible that they can have no shame around it because society is everywhere. But like the younger we get them, the better. So like this book is for 12 to 18. I think it can be read by anyone, especially anyone who loves a person that is that age. But if I knew in concrete terms that being queer meant that I was part of like the world's coolest lineage ever, I think my life would have been really different.
Yes. It's like, do you know that thing Ubuntu? It's an African thing. There's various things, but it means basically I can't be happy until everyone's happy. You know, we are all, it's the same thing. We're all connected in it.
No, like it's like Audre Lorde said, like none of us are free until all of us are free.
Yeah.
It's exactly that. It's exactly that. Audre Lorde, I love her. My other favorite of hers, Your Silence Will Not Protect You.
Yeah.
And, but yes, it's exactly that. And Ubuntu is this, it's a sort of an ancient thing. And it's a much more sort of, and it's sort of what I think about being Scottish as well, that there's a safety net. We all look after each other. If there's injustice anywhere, we speak out about it because that, you know, that's not right. And that could happen to you. And I think that's something that perhaps I think feel in America, in the United States of America, isn't so much part of society and of the culture, that idea of looking out for each other because of this, you know, kind of, you know, the American dream is not necessarily about looking behind you and helping others up. It's about going forward and making it on your own.
Absolutely. What you just said about Scottishness, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And in the book, I say, you know, like take a minute and identify your culture. And that can be anything. So for me, it was Judaism. Scottishness is a perfect one. It can be even like sometimes like certain regions of the United States have like really, really strong cultures or certain like even certain like sports teams. You know, like if you grew up around like the church of this whatever, that can be the culture.
What would be your church, Chris?
Well, when you were just talking about that, Adam, it's like I much more relate to like my family's Irishness. Like, so my mum's side of the family are from Southern Ireland, so are my dad's side of the family.
I didn't know both of them were.
Yeah, and like what was crazy was once I went to Cork in Southern Ireland, where my mum's side of the family are from, I was there filming and I ended up in this bar late at night and there was a group of women who were like in their 60s and it was like someone had got 9 versions of my mother and put them in a bar. I was like, you're my mum. Like, you're exactly like my mum. Her mannerisms, the way they spoke, and like, I adore Irish people. They are so kind and warm and inclusive. And I suppose technically I'm English, but like I much more associate with that because I find Englishness, I find contains a lack of collective support unless it ascribes to quite a specific idea of what you should be. And that's probably me being generalizing and being judgmental, but I have never felt, I feel such a warmth around Irish people. And I think there is a sort of support and there's community. I think it's about community, isn't it?
Yes. And also the thing you say about the sort of, you know, the slightly stiff upper lip, the kind of restrained thing that people talk about with English people. And it's a cliche, but cliches are cliches for a reason. And so that lack of sort of, not openness, but that lack of immediate, it takes a while to, you know, break the ice perhaps. That obviously contributes to that, this whole thing. You feel less, you feel less willing to be vulnerable in that sort of environment.
Yeah.
I really loved what you said about Scottishness and Irish, being Scottish and being Irish and identifying with that, because that is exactly what I'm trying to hit on. If like, if my parents see someone on the subway that like they know are Jewish, sometimes they'll like maybe like give them a smile or something like that, right. You know?
Yeah.
Or like if my mom sees another like young woman, I have 3 brothers. And so if my mom sees another young woman with like 4 boys or like 3 boys, she'll like, they'll have like a special place and she'll like give a little smile or like a help them with something, you know, whatever that little piece of human warmth magic is. That's what I want all of us to have when we see another queer person. And
that's lovely.
It's so lovely. And do you know, I had that the other day, like I had it happen twice actually, like, cause I was in the airport and there was like a couple of very like leather gays in the airport. But like, I looked over at them and we just like had a moment and I gave them a look like, you know, hey, I see you girls. And like, you know, we had a little moment like that. And then later had another moment as I was going through security I came through the scanners and there was like the most impossibly handsome airport security guard standing on the other side in like the short sleeve shirt, amazing arms, really tanned, like gorgeous human being. And I totally obviously just kind of went at him. And then my eyes moved to just next to him. And this very obviously gay guy who worked with him was standing next to him. And he just gave me this look like, I know. It was such a nice, like, I live for those little moments of like where you kind of go, I see you. Yeah, like, it's so nice that, isn't it?
I love that too. I think that's so great. And so in a way, we, because of this maybe lack of structure, and also the thing I said earlier about we were a fractured community because of AIDS, I'm really fascinated by the way that there's a whole generation of mentors missing in our gay men society because they all died. So there's this kind of the lineage of how a society works in ours is kind of broken because of that. And I think we're just only realizing that and recovering from it at the same time. But also I think because of that lack of structure and because we've been kind of hidden, as you said, Adam, for so long, in a way, we look to popular culture and those things to kind of conjoin us. And I thought there was a thing in your book I thought that mentioned about Mean Girls. And it's so funny. It's the second time this week in a book by a queer person that Mean Girls has been used as this sort of and for me it's I know what Mean Girls is, but I'm much older, I suppose. So it's interesting. I think for your generation, Mean Girls is much more of a sort of talisman in a way. Why do you think? Because it's about what people relate to to Lindsay Lohan as being the one who's the outcast, and she triumphs and everything. Is that what do you think?
Okay, so with Mean Girls, one is there is an openly gay character, and the openly gay character, he does fill a typical trope in which he like doesn't really have his own plot line and is like sort of an accessory, but still he's there and he's out and that's cool.
And also, is he the mean girl's friend or is he Lindsay Lohan's friend?
He's the loser, the air quote loser's friend. And so there's an openly queer character. And also I think that there's all this like queer theory and stuff that before gay men were allowed to be on television, they sort of like spoke through the mouths of women or like powerful divas. Oh, so like the idea of like golden girls as sort of like basically
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, and like them just like being gay. So I think there's that.
Golden
and
girls, yeah.
And also that like Mean Girls and Lindsay Lohan fulfills like the queer, I think there's like an arc to all queer icons, you know, like tried to be someone who they weren't by being like really, really glamorous and like over the top, and then like found out who they really were through the pursuit of like glamour and self. So I think there's that, but also, I wanted to talk about what you said about the missing generation, because I think that is so impossibly true. And when I think about the missing generation, the person that I always think about is Howard Ashman, who wrote the music to Beauty and the Beast and The Little Mermaid. Uh-huh. And he was queer and Jewish, and he's just always been sort of a North Star to me. And so I think one of the reasons we are disconnected, like you were saying, Alan, is one is that we're missing a full generation. But two, our biological ancestors do not double as our queer ancestors. I was born into a Jewish house and I was taught Jewish things at age zero. And I was taught that Jewishness is good at age zero. Whereas most of us are born into non-queer homes, taught that queerness is bad, and then have to reset ourselves. So I think one, it's the lost generation. Absolutely. And I also think that it's that we have to find our ancestors and mentors as opposed to being handed them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the sort of concept of queer erasure and how it doesn't suit the wider narrative. So people like you mentioned Sophie Wilson, this trans engineer who created, was it the microchip that goes in a phone?
The core, yeah. That goes into smartphones.
You know, and why isn't that Mark Zuckerberg, you know?
Like I say in the book, like I knew like all around my house were books like great Jewish women in sports, great Jewish men in sports. Or like I would go to a museum and it would literally be like with school and they'd be like, he's Jewish and he's Jewish and he's Jewish. And like, first of all of these people were homos, you know, like why don't we know any of that?
What a lovely chat with Adam. That's the end of part one. Head over to your feed to get part two and have a listen to that.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Powered by Spirit Studios.